Know that you are enough and beautifully complete. Chapter 1. All the Parts. You know those plants that are always trying to find the light? Maybe they were planted in a location that didn't necessarily facilitate growth, but inexplicably, they make a circuitous route to not only survive, but bloom into a beautiful plant. That was me my whole life, but extremely flamboyantly jubilant and oh so gay. Picture me in the 7th grade, a chubby, slightly snaggletooth kid with a voluminous mop of frizzy curly hair that screamed through layers of gel for what I desperately wanted to be a Hanson-esque, smooth, collarbone-length, center-parted man bob. I'd be cycling through several of my cutest looks, usually monochromatic jumpers with severe Doc Marten boots, just to go to the mall. It felt entirely possible that a talent scout would be there in the nation's smallest capital of Springfield, Illinois, on the off weekend my family was there for a soccer tournament with my brothers, just waiting outside Claire's to discover a kid like me and guide me to center stage. I'd practice ice skating routines in my living room, trying to be like the Olympians I idolized, imagining how triumphant I'd be when I finally seized that gold medal. With a cute enough outfit and the right attitude, yet no ability to skate, flip, or sing, I could become a Michelle Kwan, Dominique Dawes, or Christina Aguilera level hero. And maybe, just maybe, someday I'd get out of Quincy, Illinois. And by someday, I meant as soon as physically possible. The years of fantasizing about reaching stratospheric fame through a local mall discovery had long since faded by 2017. I'd settled for much more attainable goals. I became a hairdresser, working in both LA and New York. I'd stumbled, very gratefully, into a side hustle in the form of a web series called Gay of Thrones. That spring, I would move to Atlanta to shoot a dream project with 4 new friends. We had beaten out the collective gay world for these 5 coveted positions, and we all knew it was a monumental opportunity. Like Maya Angelou taught me, I was hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst so that nothing could catch me off guard. I was just happy that I had completed my mission of escaping cornfield, small-town-only gay person infamy and was now free to live an authentic queer life in a gorgeous big city with a Trader Joe's and nobody thinking twice about my leggings. Prepared as I thought I was, Sister actually had no idea the life change she was about to experience. A year later, in February, Queer Eye had just come out, and I was on my way to a meeting at Town & Country. Do I know what you do at magazine meetings? Absolutely not. But I had seen enough America's Next Top Model seasons to know how to nail a go-see. To my shock, I arrived early, so I went to grab a coffee. And as I was walking in, this lady with the most gorgeous, expertly done microbraids and giant glasses stopped me and bellowed, "Honey, this faggotry you're serving is giving me everything." At first, I was confused. Did she just call me a fag? But the smile on her face and her extreme proximity seemed to suggest a loving and enamored person. I'm now doubly confused. I'm running ahead of schedule and strangers are stopping me. Mind you, it's still 8:15 a.m. My eyes are still subtly permastone from last night's edible, and I hadn't even had my coffee yet. So I said, "Thanks, queen," and continued on my way. But then, 2 steps later, 2 other girls stopped me. They said they were living for the show and asked if they could take selfies. Of course, I said, "Yes, sweets," and that caused a few more girls from outside the shop to come in for what was quickly becoming an impromptu meet and greet. My original encounter from the store got in line for her pick next, then became the photographer for the rest of the meet and greet. After thanking all my new friends, I left the coffee shop to head back to Town & Country with no coffee because I forgot. Well, that was fun. How much am I thriving right now? I thought. Crossing the street to go to my meeting, a very nice man stopped me and began playing 20 questions with me about my life, about the show, about everything. I obliged because I'm eternally a people pleaser and I didn't want him to feel bad, but at that point, my early arrival turned into being fully actually late to the meeting. I tried to explain that to him as I was frolicking away like a gorgeous gazelle toward the doors of the Hearst building. When I was filming Queer Eye in secrecy with the boys in Atlanta in 2017, sometimes producers or people who were familiar with the show's revival would ask